This is a dope move.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news, sack the competition, and he play with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need and more.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before, we call him
Big Game James.
Yeah.
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's going on, everybody? This is Thursday, and it is time for Big Game Sports Buzz. This is where the sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together and talk about all things sports and everything related around it. I am Jay Stocks, the buff nerd. Let's go. And, of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why this podcast is called What It Is Called By. And that is Big Game James. What up, guy? What's up?
What up, Stocks? How's it going, man?
Oh, man. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm getting a delay. I don't know.
Oh, I'm delayed to you?
Yes.
Oh, damn. My apologies.
All good.
Between my internet and YouTube, I guess the devil's a liar. He's trying to make me mad, and it's not going to happen.
Man.
So I apologize for any delay or lagging thereof. Hey, if y'all would like to see better technology, please make sure you go to Cash App, $BG, James Canada, and we will start to upgrade because it's some boo. Hey, man, anybody who recommended a Mac, J-Stocks, you going to hit them where?
Man, straight in the back of both their knees.
Back of the both of their kneecaps, J-Stocks said. Not the front.
Both of them.
Not the side, not the face, not the jaw, but the back of your kneecap.
Listen, I want to see your nostrils when you go, ooh, like that. That's how mad I am.
And man, I seen somebody get hit in the back of their knees and they ended up doing a full-fledged backward scorpion. Like, they got hit in their knee and I seen their shoulders touch the ground first.
That's it.
It was amazing. It was actually a work of art. I still don't know how their bones gave that much for their shoulders to hit the ground first while their knees were still in the air.
That's what I want.
It was amazing.
That is what I want.
It was amazing.
That's what I want. Because you're either gonna get that or you're gonna get the Achilles.
Hey, that's just evil, bro. You can't slice nobody Achilles, dog. Come on, man.
Hey, I'm gonna slice them. I'm punching them.
In the Achilles?
Yeah.
Hey, dog, let me know when you do that, or at least videotape it. And I'll make sure. Hey. Matter of fact, let's stop talking about punching people because that's what got me in trouble, speaking of punch.
True.
And I know we got a lot of stuff that we're going to touch on, and that itself might find itself in one of these segments. But yeah, true. Man. Yeah, so if anybody's watching, and if you normally check out Jay Stocks and I on the BGSE, which is the company channel, yeah, that's what we're normally on. But tonight, it's just straight up Big Game Sports Buzz channel, just the show's channel that we're trying to grow as well. So, hey. If it's your first time, I put it out there. Make sure you subscribe to this one as well because you won't see us for about 90 days or another one.
Yeah.
For not sure. Live. You can catch uploads. I'm going to upload as soon as we're done talking tonight. But yeah, man, they put your boy in timeout.
Hey, look, and that's good. You know what? Good segue. You can check us out on YouTube, of course, live, Facebook Live, Instagram. Check us out on the shorts that Big Game definitely puts together and does great work on X and on the Twitter, what used to be Twitter, now is X, of course, Facebook. and TikTok and all of that. So anyway, you check that. And of course, wherever you listen to your favorite platform for podcasts, we are there, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. So come enjoy the content. It is always good. It is always fire. You're going to enjoy it. So make sure that you check it out. Like, subscribe, smash the bell, or whatever notification that you need so that you know when BGSC Network is coming to you.
Hey, Jay, big shout out to the Apple family, man. Apple listeners, man, Apple Music people and Apple Podcast people. It's straight growth. And I don't know who we know in the UK, but for some reason, man, the United Kingdom is starting to pick up and play Big Game Sports Buzz a lot. So shout out to y'all. I guess because the last name is Canada, you know, the French part of people over there watching the show. So anyway, we really, really.
I tell you, man, all you have to do to speak French
is what?
Is something.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, you know, it's really easy to speak French, man. All you got to do is just have an accent, you know, that's kind of angry and just say hon hon at the end. And if you do that, you got French down.
Hey, the only French I know is French toast. And now, the Fort Downs brought to you by the Buff and Herb.
Let's go. That's right. These are the Fort Downs, the hottest topics that are going on in sports right now. And my rundown just went away.
Oh, what?
Ain't that something? Okay. Well, let's see. Let me remember. Oh, yes. The first down, biggest news right now is Kim Mulkey, head coach of the LSU Go Tigers, Lady Tigers. Well, she's having a little bit of a go with Washington Post. Okay. And one in particular, a writer, right? That has, as she's put it, gone behind her back and is trying to write a piece about her for the past 2 years. And she really didn't like the way that he wrote, or the piece that he wrote about, I believe it was Chip Kelly or Brian Kelly, one of the Kelly.
Brian Kelly, the coach, the coach of LSU men's, of LSU's football team. Yeah.
Right. So she didn't like, and she calls it, as she calls it, a hit piece. So she said, no, you're not finna do me like that. So, so now there's a big stink, and she's saying, look, if you put this story out, I'm going to sue you for defamation. And I'm, you know, here's it.
Not this.
Big D. But here's what Shannon Sharp said. And not Shannon, the other one.
Shannon Sharp said something. Yeah, who was it? Stephen A?
Club Shay Shay. Yeah.
Okay.
He brings up a really good point here. And he says, if there's really nothing to it, and you've said you've hired the lawyers, the defamation lawyers, let them do their job. You don't have to say anything.
Right.
But now it brings people to, well, what they're going to write about? What is she hiding?
What is she scared of?
What is she so scared of about what former players and coaches have to say about her?
Jay?
Yeah.
Right now, looking at this, and when you put Kim Mulkey on here, I say, what the hell Kim Mulkey done? I'll say, besides from wearing ugly suits and having a bad taste in clothes, what is going on with Kim Mulkey? And so to read this story, and I've already hired the number one defamation law firm in the country.
Yeah.
And they are just ready to rip apart what this guy says because the way he covered Brian Kelly. I was like, you real defensive. Okay, read a little bit more, seeing some other stuff. They gave me an ultimatum where I had to answer these questions by this date, or they're going to release a story that's already been written. when I told them they released a story, I'm going to fire them. First and foremost, man, if a journalist has a story that is factual and has some credit to it, they should be and are allowed to go ahead and write that story. I don't believe that you need permission from that person to put a story out there. Now, if you pulled a whole bunch of stuff out of your butt and it's all made up, that's another thing. But yeah, like you just mentioned, that's what the law firm is for. They're there to know and research what was factual or not. And this is my thing. I cannot picture any writer, any columnist, journalist for the Washington Post that is going to put their career on the line to make up a story lying about Kim Mulkey. Right? What's she hiding, Jay? She got some bodies somewhere?
You know what? Here's my thing, man. You know, and we were talking about this in some of my groups that I'm in, and you know, some highly intellectual people, man, some highly intellectual brothers. One of the things we were kind of, you know, mentioning was, you know, the women's sports, in particular the WNBA, and how inclusive it is. And I'm using that word, right? Mm-hmm. How inclusive it is of different backgrounds, as well as lifestyles.
Right.
And there may be something there where Mulkey is involved with certain people's lifestyles, whatever her opinion was, whether she was for or against. Maybe she, you know, didn't really want that out because, you know, you had big name players at Baylor who have come out, right? And they're, you know, I mean, I'm just saying.
Right.
Just saying.
And that could be very damaging to recruiting.
Oh, absolutely.
And very damaging to recruiting and to teams. And we know the way the portal is and things go on. Those kids could jump ship and leave. Maybe she is. I don't know. But this is my whole thing. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if you don't have anything to hide, you're going to say, bring it. Do your job. Sure. And I'm going to let my law firm do theirs. But this is my question to you, Jay Styles, when you brought this story up. It's just very interesting. Why is it that the number one thing a go-to is, hey, I'm going to sue you? Like, I'm trying to put fear into you that to keep you from doing your job. It's a scare. How serious it is, I don't know. But doesn't it seem a little bit like a scare tactic?
I mean, sure. But, you know, I look at it like this, man. How do you hurt a company like Washington Post? You know, I'm not going to take your paper anymore. Nobody will read papers, bro. Nobody read that.
I laugh every morning because I get the digital Dallas Morning News.
Exactly. You don't get it delivered to your, you know what I'm saying, to your
port. I only signed up for that because of the high school sports section because.
There you go. And look, I don't know about you, but you could have signed up for Max Preps. I'm just saying.
No, I got that too. But Dallas Morning News has some other coaching discounts and other things as well. Since I'm a, you know,
there you go. See, and there you go. Shout out Dallas, Dallas Morning News. We'd love to have you support this. But yeah, man. I mean, I agree with you though. There's something there that she's obviously afraid of. And you're right. I say it like this. Whether you're innocent or not, leave that to the professionals. There's nothing you need to say.
Mm-mm. Or do.
Or do. Let them do that. That's what they're paying. That's why you're paying them. That's why the school is paying them. If they're that good, there's nothing you have to say. But we're going to be watching, though. That's for sure.
Watching. Keeping our eyes up, everybody. Hey, man, y'all checking this out. Tap in. Let us know what you think. And if you know something, if you've been part of that Kim Mulkey coaching train or played for and you know some stuff, hey, hell, let your boy know. You know, I like a good tea every now and then. A nice little Earl Grey.
Breakfast for me. But I do like a good Earl Grey. Speaking of letting people speak for you.
Uh-oh.
Second down. This is a good one, man. You know, I brought this up last time we was on here, and now it just gets even deeper, right? Shohei Ohtani finally comes out and speaks in Japanese, of course, about the interpreter story through another interpreter. But now, man, it's getting to a point where, you know, things just aren't adding up.
Right.
He lied. He stole from me. I did
massive theft. They said,
dude, 4.5 million. Whoo, 4.5 million that they can account for at this point. Damn. Yeah.
That's a lot of cheddar, bro.
That's a lot of cheese. That's a lot of lettuce. So the big thing now is Ipe Mitsuhari, who's an interpreter, has come out and said, yeah, he didn't know what his was jacked up. His was jacked up. So they're in the Dodgers clubhouse, and the Dodgers say, hey, we need to have a talk with the whole team. And Shohei's like, okay. Ipe is there, and he's like, all right. They start talking about this situation. Shohei has no idea what's going on. All he's looking at Ipe, and Ipe's like, I'll tell you after the meeting's over.
Whoa. What?
I'll tell you after the meeting's over. Shohei's looking like, okay, something isn't right. And as he stated in his press conference, he was starting to get an uneasy feeling, but a feeling of, okay, I think I know what's going on here, or at least an uneasiness.
Right.
Right. So Ipe does not tell him until after the meeting and says, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And that's when he finds out about this situation. According to Shohei Ohtani.
But Jay, like I told you last week, when this first broke and came out, is Shohei Ohtani really about to risk a $700 million contract over some gambling debt? Say it again. Hell no. That's what sucks now that you think about it. I mean, you say that all this shit is lost in translation because he's relying on the person that the team is talking about to tell him they talking about him.
Hold up. And this is your boy. This your man's in there.
I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. He's relying on the thief that the team is talking to to tell him they talking about him that he's stealing from him.
Right. Boy. Right. Now, some people have said, well, how could this happen? I mean, first of all, he was transferring $500,000 at a time. Now, I've heard different stories about how much he gets paid. I've heard $80,000 to $85,000 a year to $300,000 to $500,000. I can't believe that he only gets paid $85,000 to be an interpreter. I think he gets paid a little bit more. But hey, you know what? I'll leave it to that. The point of the matter for me is I can absolutely see this because it happens to married people all the time. And the reality is you can say what you want to. That was their relationship, right? He was always with him. He was always with him. So how hard is it for him to say to, that bookie or the bank that speaks English and he doesn't, hey, so Shohei needs to transfer $500,000 here.
And he just sitting over there like, yes.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
He's like, hey, everything good? You know, like he speaks to, Ipe, looks at Shohei, is like, everything's good, right? He shakes his head. Oh, yeah, everything's good. See, told you, $500,000. Let's do it. I mean.
That's a weasel. Ooh, that's some dirty stuff right there, bro.
Now, that's one side. If the other side is he's taking the fall for him, you get his little money, pay him off, he'll go back to Japan ashamed, right? He'll be a ashamed person with probably like 10 to 15 million in his pocket.
He ain't going back to Japan.
Oh yeah, he's got to go back. He can't stay here.
I mean, he'll go to Hawaii.
Well, yeah, he can go to Hawaii. Yeah, I'm just, but he's gonna get paid.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get paid off.
He's taking a fall. Man, yeah, he getting paid.
That's a damn shame, bro. I mean, because here it is. You said he was making what he was. But okay, even if he was only making say $85,000, if you with Stoney O'Tony all the time as the interpreter,
he
footing the bill really for everything.
You getting the crumbs. You and those are nice crumbs.
Boy, I'd be a pigeon to take them crumbs.
Man,
I mean, I know I'd be a big old pigeon, but I'd be a pigeon to take them crumbs.
Listen, let somebody coming through here from Africa or Nigeria somewhere, you know, and hey, I'll be your interpreter.
Hold on, man, fool. First, you got to speak Nigerian.
I can speak it. Don't make me do it, though. I was about to, but I'm going to be good.
If you come up here and sound like Joffy Jofa from Coming to America, man, I'm going to come through this computer and shake you.
Where is my son?
I'm here for Hakeem, the prince, my son. He's not the prince.
Oh,
he's
my God. It is you.
Who told you that? Man, every black person that's from Africa, do not get mad at me. I'm so sorry.
Let's get back to it.
Hold on.
Mm-mm.
That's what happened when we started show about 30 minutes late. We started getting crazy.
We started doing that. Yeah. Okay, cool.
He said he can interpret for the Nigerians that come over.
Hey, come on. I got you. Mufofu and all them. Come on over. I got you.
Hey, do you remember this episode of Good Times when Thelma was about to marry the prince until she found out he had a bunch of it?
Man, yes.
I'm sorry. Good. I love that show. Goddamn. Good Time. All right.
You will be one of my wives.
What do you mean? Abubakar. One. Yes. I have many wives.
All right, many wives, but you lost. God, bro. She was like, nope.
We've lost the one viewer we had. Thank you.
Keep coming in and going back. Look, let's get to this third down.
Man, game Wi-Fi.
Man. Ooh, I'm telling you. T-Mobile. Third down, SEC the points in tournament. And it's starting to become you know, a consistent thing. Calipari.
And that's why I wrote it like this, Jay, because the two coaches you brought up, I was like, oh, this is a great, great question that Mr. Stoglin has come up with. So, Jay Stoglin, you did a hell of a job on pulling that one up because.
Thank you.
Ooh, shoot, man. Well, go ahead, man. Calipari, what you got?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's start back at, you know, in the SEC is 5-6 in the tournament. 5-6 with big time blue bloods bowing out early. And I do mean early, such as Kentucky and Auburn, and being upset by very low seeds.
Oakland beat Kentucky and Yale beat Auburn.
And Yale. Right.
But like, J-Stock, someone says something very interesting to me. You stop to look at it. Calipari went all in on this one and done, sending guys to the NBA, right? Hold on, y'all. Sorry about that, Jay. Calipari went all in on sending guys to the NBA, one and done. And here it is, these guys and people are coming to Kentucky, and he's sending a boatload of people to the NBA at record numbers. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, the NBA has been a good place for Calipari's people, but Kentucky's not winning championships anymore. They haven't won since Anthony Davis and Julius Randle, those guys, right? So
right.
What's the trade-off? Like, really? Is, I believe the way Calipari has done it, and when you say, will he be fired? The reason I think that's even spoken to people is you get these great recruiting classes, But at the same time, you funnel these guys in and out to where if you come to Kentucky, if you're not going pro within that second year, you almost have to transfer because he's bringing the next hottest class. But they right. have no success at all in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and forgive my camera, I don't know what's, man, I don't know what's going on here. But one of the things that we, okay, let's just put it like this. He did get signed. He, you know, the AD came back and said, no, he's coming back. Calipari's coming back. Now, this was very recent, as in like yesterday, right?
Okay.
The thing about it, though, and the reason why I had to ask that question was, again, this is becoming a consistent norm where, like you said, you have great success. You have one and dones or maybe, you know, second year players and they go to the league and they do well in the league. But your program itself
is not winning.
It's not winning. It does not have sustained success in the tournament.
Right.
And that's what the schools are looking at. Right. And Bruce Pearl is the same way. Where, again,
I think this year. He made Auburn relevant, right? Because he did the same thing in Tennessee. He left coaching for a while, came back. He makes Auburn relevant. He gets them playing well to a certain point. Now, you know, they did have some injuries getting ready for the tournament. The Bruce Pearl thing is not as much of an upset to me as it is for Calipari. Now, Auburn was supposed to win that game, no doubt. Yeah. But then when you're one of your star players sucker punches and elbows a guy within the first 4 minutes of the first, you know, in the first round of the tournament, and then you lose, that was a piss poor decision, which I think if that young man plays the entire game, it makes it a little bit different. And my computer's tripping. I wanted to have, you know, go through all the SEC teams. I know the only ones that I think really played up the par like they thought they would was Alabama. And then A&M played really well before getting beat in overtime to Houston.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of the SEC teams, and here it is, like people complained about how many teams they got in, and then they did horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the part that people are upset about, is you have so many teams in the tournament. Right. But yet after the and it's after the first round.
Right.
It's after the first round. It's one thing to say, okay, well, you know what? There's round of 32. All right. Even in Sweet 16, okay, fine. If you're knocking each other out, got it, right? But we're talking first round, round of 64, where you get knocked off by damn near play-in teams.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I feel you, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people thought Oakland was a school out in California. Like, no one, like, Oakland. Like, oh, was that, it was a JC that turned into a four-year, or, you know, out in California? No, they're out of Michigan. Like, who knows? So basically, they put him on the map.
Yeah.
They put him on the map.
But Jay, this is my question too. Looking at the overall big picture of the NCAA tournament and how things are done, do you think we come to a point where these big blue blood programs have to reconsider what they're bringing in and how they recruit and maybe get back to looking at kids that can come and help you over at least a three-year period? Because this is my whole thing. I can go get five of the best freshmen in the world, and by the time they get going to start building some continuity, the season's over. Right. Or you get to the tournament and you run into that team that has more experience, or that fifth-year senior transferring and having a game life the very first round of the tournament, and he knocks you out. I just think that something has to change. Calipari, you can't have it both ways. You can't go recruit NBA-only guys hoping to get a championship off of pure talent alone. Because to me, right now, it's apparent that formula is not working. You have got to be able to put together a team that can play good team basketball with some type of chemistry and get better. And right now, Kentucky's not doing that. Like, they have this great talent that never seems to gel. And this is the other, man, Kentucky not going to disappoint me this year. I had them getting all the way to the Elite Eight. God damn it, what they do? Disappoint me.
Yeah. So, in what you're saying, and you know, I'm going through the scores now. Like, Florida lost to Colorado. Of course, you know, we talked about A&M winning, but you know, Auburn and looking at these teams and saying,
Tennessee's
okay,
still alive right now too. But other than
Tennessee, yeah, they are. They're one of the ones that did make it through. But I think the other piece is, and you have a great question of how do you keep these type of kids at school? Here's the great part about NIL. You know, NIL step in, right? Hey, how do you keep these kids? Now, you're not going to make NBA money. I get that because, you know, and that's guaranteed contracts. But here's an opportunity for you to try to keep them there.
Yeah.
You know, you can try, but the reality is if I can make more money in the NBA and it's guaranteed, I'm going to go there. But not everyone makes it to the NBA.
In that part, I will say, Jay, you know how many of these guys are leaving thinking they're going to be one and done, get to the NBA, not even be a lottery pick or first round pick yet. Next thing you know, they bouncing around G League and going back to Europe and then trying to come back and get in the league again. Dog, it's hard out here.
And to me, that's the sale. That's the sale you have for those kids like the Gelkies from Oakland who, you know, he's a senior, but he's killing Auburn, right? He's just killing them with threes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sale. Hey, look, I'm not saying you're not great, but you're not going to be – you know, second round, you're not gonna go in the draft, right? You're gonna bounce around the G League, you're gonna go overseas, you'll make some money, but you can make money here, stay home, help build a program or help continue a program, you know, and then, you know, there's other things that you can do within the league.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe you get to the league. And if not, you can coach. There's just other things you can do. Give them opportunities.
And this is no, I like Calipari because he's always been about trying to get his players paid, I think. Trying to find the right way to get them, you know, to have success and have a future where he knows that NBA money can change their lives. But at some point in time, I believe the institution you're at is going to be pissed off eventually if you're not a serious contender for a championship. And several people said it. A lot of people didn't take Kentucky as they weren't threatened by Kentucky in the tournament. No, and it showed because of how they exited the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I said, Auburn's fate was a little bit different. I like Bruce Pearl. I love his energy, man. But
yeah, and one of the things that and I always like to hear from alumni who. I mean, Charles Barkley is like, look, you can say what you want, bad loss, but Bruce Pearl is a great coach. He graduates his players, which is an amazing team, right, especially in this day and age. So, yeah, definitely down for that. Let's move to this fourth down, man, so we can go ahead and get to the rest of the stuff we got.
All right.
Fourth down, Luka being snubbed and MVP talks. So here's the deal, okay? When you talk about NBA and MVP talks, a lot of times you look at the odds for the players, and that really kind of determines, right? Yeah, that determines who's where. So right now, as far as the MVP frontrunners, it goes in this order. Nikola Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out of Oklahoma City, then Lucas third, Giannis, and then Jason Tatum. Out of those five, right, Luka is third. Now, I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. Yes, I'm a Mavs fan, but look, let's be realistic about this. this man is averaging near a triple double for the season.
He's
I'm just going to throw these numbers out here.
Mm-hmm.
13.9 points a game, 9.1 rebounds a game, 9.8 assists a game. It's not including the 1.5 steals that he has per game. And he plays 37 minutes. If you take him out and you take away those numbers, the Mavs don't win games.
Right.
Period. Fact. Point blank. End of the story. They don't win games.
Right.
I think part of this is because it's the Kyrie effect.
What?
Because Kyrie is a all-star, I will not say he's a superstar. I think that light has dimmed. But he is still a really good player. But if you look at these persons that I just named, Nikola Jokic, people still don't believe Murray is an all-star. He's definitely not a superstar. So it's Nikola doing it by himself. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is young, right? But who else do you have on the squad? Okay, I can kind of see that, but is Oklahoma City really that good? Like, are you betting on them to win a championship? Absolutely not.
No, not right now. I'm not.
Yeah. Giannis is Giannis. I mean, you know, Giannis will always be in the conversation as long as he's playing. And I think that's just what it is. And Jason Tatum, he has Brown. And so I think that kind of dims it as well.
But he's on another level right now, Jay. I think that he's legit. This is my thing, not just to cut you off. And I know I do that a lot. Please forgive me. You know, I talk about Luka a lot. And I just honestly believe that Luka annoys and rubs people the wrong way. And to me, that is the reason he gets snubbed when it comes to MVP talks. If you purely look at the basketball that he's played and listen to those numbers that you just spewed, that run of triple doubles he made was is flipping crazy. Like, it's stuff like that doesn't happen, but it's overlooked. To me, the Mavericks are playing at a level now to where they can be scary in the playoffs against certain teams with the way they're playing. And think about it.
Yes.
They're doing this with not having Brunson.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Which, you know, I know he's been going for a while, but it just, you think about what that piece was with he was there as well. Luka has turned his game up a notch, a whole nother notch.
Listen.
And I think that right now he should be top two. I just really do with the way he's playing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, this is biased, but I don't say it's that much bias because, again, when you start looking at the numbers and understanding how the team is actually put together. So two things happen. Trade deadline, you got rid of the people that you needed to, and you brought in Jones. You find, right? Absolutely. The next thing, and the second thing, and I talked about this too, was Kid had to get out of the way. His rotations were atrocious.
Facts.
Now that you see Lively playing more and you have Woods playing more, now that you're seeing that and they're actually in Jones, now that you're actually seeing, oh, hey, guess what? These guys can actually play and they play well together.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to see the Mavericks, you know, they're putting up 125, you know, 127 and holding people to under 110 points, or 100, and you say, wow, scoring is going to be up. It's just going to be up, okay? That's what the NBA wants.
Yeah, that's today's NBA, dog.
Everyone's going to score at least 100 points. If you can keep it under 105, hey, you're going to win a game, which is crazy to hear and say it, but it's true.
Yeah, very true.
You know, but him being third, yeah, man, you already know what that makes me say, bro, especially with these numbers.
I know.
Exactly. Is they putting out? Come on.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell
no.
That's right. Oh, hell no. We look at stuff that goes around the sports world and that make us say, oh, hell no. We've had a lot of candidates, okay, for this one this week. And actually, there's an honorable mention that I've got to put out just real quick right here. I don't know if you saw this clip of this Clipper, but apparently Harden didn't know whose team he was playing for. There's a go out and search, but he tries to block his own teammate. Just look it up. James Harden tries to block his own team.
Yeah, he closed out on the shot of his teammate after making a pass. It was hilarious.
It's like, dude. My gosh. But anyway, keep it in the NBA. Speaking of doing stupid stuff in the NBA, there are reports. I'm going to put it like this. There are reports that one Jontay Porter, who you probably don't know who he is or even what team he plays for. Guess what? No one does, okay? Apparently, though, this guy's like the 11th person on the bench. Through FanDuel, apparently some prop bets were hitting. Hitting pretty big. And they were concerning him. And what got them, or what alerted them, was he said, oh, they got the over-under. And the under was like he wasn't going to play or shoot, like, get 7 points. Well, all of a sudden, something happens with his eye, right? So he's out of the game. I think he scored, like, 2 points. Hits. On a different occasion, it's supposed to be like rebounds or something like that. He's the over-under was like 1.5. He gets sick. Doesn't feel well. Leaves the game.
Damn.
Right here. This is where Jontay Porter, brother Michael Porter Jr., apparently promoting as well as his company financial, that does financial moves and stuff, like 2022.
Hey, Jay, I can't hear you. Sound like a typewriter going on right now.
This stuff I was giving you.
Sound like, and you was real animated, and I'm like,
yeah.
Like, rewind, bro. I missed the last half of that.
Like this.
That's definitely old hill.
Oh yeah. I love what his brother puts out because he's defending him, saying fans always scream out what the players should score. Every night. You disappoint someone. Like, what? What? You disappoint someone? It Jay, is what it is?
I mean, how many times have we talked and said that this was going to be a bad idea when all this betting became legal and okay to do?
You said that.
Right. Yeah, Calvin, that. If Calvin Ridley didn't show nothing to all these other fools in other sports, come on, man. And I don't. Here's what, even to this level. So all of a sudden you got somebody betting on you on your slip and you hitting overs. I mean, you know you're over and under 1.5 points. You're going to play enough to get the credit for playing and yet not do nothing and leave sick or hurt. So you know you can miss. And whoever put that money on your ticket going to get that money. Come on, bro. That's – come on, man. And shout out to my partners that got me on this damn over-under shit. The other night, it made me stay up way past my bedtime watching the game because I needed somebody to score 4 more points, 2 more baskets. And I'm cheering like I'm about to win a lottery ticket. And all I won was $50. I was so happy. It's changing the game. And it's,
oh, yeah.
To me, it's almost like fantasy football on steroids. Because now,
yeah,
you can, you're instantly rewarded. It's instant gratification when you win because you see the dollar sign and the money just go up in your account. But
especially
this thing, man, they have to.
Oh, yeah, especially with prop bets. Right now, NCAA president is asking that prop bets be banned in NCAA basketball. Because he's saying it's just ruining.
Caitlin Carr got me paid the other night.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, and I think NBA is looking at that as well because of NCAA. But NCAA is looking at it because of this
right.
report about Jontay Porter. And saying, hey, we don't want that in our game.
Hey, Jay, and I know we got to get going because I got one, two, and I know we got to do between the lines and our top five. But my mom has always said, you have sports, whenever you put money, whenever money gets involved in sports from a gambling standpoint, you're going to have some cheating involved.
Oh, just, yeah.
Hey. Sure. Man, that's a damn good old hell no. I'm going to keep mine quick. I had a couple I wanted to talk on, but I'm just going to go to one right now. NBA, they keep producing stupid people right now. Comes out. Jalen Green gets Basketball Wives star Drea Michele pregnant. Drea Michele is 40 years old and already has kids from other industry specialists. I'll just say that. I think one rapper, one NBA player, something like that, they say. 40 years old. Jalen Green is, what, I think 20? Been in the NBA 2 years. He's come out and said that she wants nothing to do with him relationship-wise. Of course you don't. You already secured the bag. For the next, you good till you 58 years old. And the fool has her name tattooed on him. But not just that, Jay. He has two other girls pregnant right now at the same time, allegedly. Who's in my man's corner, watching his back, trying to give him some good information and not let him just throw his money away? And I'm not one to speak on another man's pockets because being, you know, playing in the NFL was cool. But we always said NBA and MLB got way deeper pockets than we do, that we ain't never going to touch with no football money. But when you put kids in, when you got, you know, child support you're going to end up paying for years, multiple. Come on, man. Yeah. That's the big fat.
And it's guaranteed money.
Guaranteed money.
Man. Man, come on. Oh, hell no. For real.
Hell.
Hell no. Let's get
it. You got to be
careful.
You know what they say, though? That kitten is undefeated. Ain't lost a game yet.
Missouri. All right, between the lines, hey, a lot of things have been going on at the owners meeting this past week, past couple of weeks, and competition committee has been meeting, and what they decided was, number one, there's no more tackling in football, in professional football, in the National Football League. No more tackling.
Dang.
What I'm speaking on specifically, and Big Gang can definitely talk to this, is what's called a hip drop tackle. Hip drop tackle is where you get somebody from behind and you use your body weight to swing down to get them down and can cause injury. They're saying that this causes 20 to 25% more injury when a tackle is, or this type of tackle is performed. You're a defensive guy, you tackle a lot of people. What say you on this?
Now, I did a piece on this on our BGSE network. I did a short talking about the hip drop tackle before they went ahead and passed it. I'm a big guy, Jay, played defensive line. Me getting in front of people to tackle is a lot different than me knowing what my boy Rondé Barber on the backside was going to do. You know, John Lynch was a hitter. Lynch would knock you out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rondé, Brian Kelly, Donnie Abraham, those DBs, they had to use leverage in ways to get people down. I mean, you think about this. Jerome Bettis out the backfield. You think Rondé Barber about to square up and hit him head on? The NFL comes out with all these crazy rules or ways they're going to change tackles. Never really gives the guys a real explanation or an example of what it needs to look like. And it's going to be called like crazy. This is my thing, what I think they're doing. The NFL, you said this to me a couple weeks ago, and it's changed my whole way of thinking about the game. I love to death, and I don't like thinking like this. You said it's now sports entertainment. Mm-hmm. The way people stay entertained in football is for points to be scored. One way that the league can help assure that points will be scored is to restrict the ways guys tackle.
Absolutely.
So the harder it becomes for people to make a tackle, the more long runs they're going to have after the catch or once they break the line of scrimmage, if they don't get tackled by a linebacker or a defensive lineman. Going off to the races. More points, more fans, more butts and seats, more bread for the NFL.
I mean, you know, you bring up a great point, and I'm thinking about who's going to try and take down Derrick Henry?
That part. And Jay, I understand when they did it for the horse collar tackle that Roy Williams made famous here in Dallas, and he took Terrell Owens out, and that was clearly a dirty tactic and method of tackling because you were pulling them down from the back where they had no control, and you knew you were about to drop all your body weight on ankles and legs or knees, right? Yes. Some people say it's similar to what's being done, and look at how Pollard got hurt that year against San Francisco. Right. It was a hip drop tackle. Still coming down from the side, or you come from that leverage, you come wrap up from the side. That momentum is going. The only other way you can go down to the ground is to drop your weight to stop all the momentum. So now you don't see guys getting drugged like that kid in the store that want the candy and the mom just push the cart to keep going. They just hanging on like trying to lay on the floor.
Right.
That's what it's going to look like. It's dude.
Yeah. I'm ready to go ahead and invest in a professional flag football team because I feel like that's where we're going. That's where it's going. I mean, I know they already have recreational ones, but I think that's where it's going, man, because at some point when you legislate tackling out of the game, that's what you have. That's what you have left. That's what you have left. And of course, hit us up in the chat. We'd love to see what you have to say about this. Because I know this is hitting home for a lot of people who have, you know, they're looking at their teams and saying, look, this dude, he don't tackle like that. You know, we got a defense full of DBs.
Hey, Jay, we wanted the running back reemergence. We might have it with this new tackle rule.
We just might. Speaking of running it back, kickoff rules, new kickoff rules. Look, you need to have a whole diagram to figure out what's going on. But basically, you have a landing zone, a setup zone, and then you have it's another zone where the team – look, it's very complicated. At the end of the day, you have basically your two teams lined up. Like 10 yards apart from each other, right? They cannot move until the ball is at the 20 or crosses over the 20-yard line. If it goes into the end zone, that will be a touchback at the 30.
The dead zone,
if it falls short,
right?
If it falls short of the landing zone, which is the 20-yard line, then they'll get it at the 40. The opposing team or the return team will get it at the 40. Now, NFL talks about safety. But as you stated, this is sports entertainment, which means we need more kickoffs. Right? Last year, it was just a whole bunch of kicking in the end zone and touchbacks. No. We need people running. We need this play to mean something.
Jay. I think, man, I think we really, really close to starting with the ball just placed on the line of scrimmage. Like, they're going to end up phasing out the kid. And then, you know, someone said, man, I can't, I like this new idea. It's going to be way more kickoff returns. But then, you know, when I saw it in the XFL last year, or the USFL that used it, I think it was the XFL, whoever they adopted it from. Yeah. I was like, I get the cut down on the impact part because, you know, Jay, in my special team days, I was part of that wedge. I think that's why I'm crazy now, because I was back there just forming a wall with another big person and just running, closing my eyes and hitting the fool as hard as I could, right?
Right.
Different things had to come about, had to change. We know that. It's the evolution of the game. Sure. I don't know. I just think about the Dante Halls, the Devin Hesters, those straight kickoff return specialists that were just so great to watch. Even y'all's boy, Tobart, what's his name? Number eight.
Turpentine,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that helps him or hurts him?
I mean, you know, it may be just one of those things where we just have to wait and see, right? You just have to see it. When you see it, you'll get used to it. You know, it's just one of those things where you get used to it. You know, there was a time in National Football League history where you didn't throw the ball forward. There was no such thing as a forward pass.
True that.
You know, and that was considered an illegal play. So
now it's the norm. You're right, man.
You know, so there's evolution.
I think it's going to be hard for us to get used to, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's not totally foreign because, you know, we talked about watching those other leagues last spring and seeing it. So it's not going to be like, what the hell is this? We've seen it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
How does the game – I do believe the short distance and the impact. But if them blocks get picked up real quick and it's one little crease – like you said, now it's just somebody to fion.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're going to have more exciting, quote unquote, plays. And I believe you're going to have more kickoff return for touchdowns.
Okay.
I think that's what you're going to have. And you're going to have shorter fields, right? So you're just going to keep seeing people just score. And defenses are going to just be worn out more and more. My two cents. Drop the pennies. Last one. Best QB in this draft.
My bad. Man, that's a lot of
QB. No.
We've talked about Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy now moving up boards.
Yep. Because of Harbaugh.
Part of it, but I just really wanted to ask, man, are we putting too much emphasis on the damn quarterback position? Because look at the 2021 draft. Look at those quarterbacks.
We can stop right there. Yes, the quarterback position in the NFL draft, I'm going to cut you off, in the NFL draft has become such an important position. I mean, when you look back, I think you have to look back to the Ryan Leaf situation.
Damn, you went back to my draft.
You know, or even looking at the Elway draft, right? The Elway, Marino, that draft.
Yeah.
You know, I think right there you start to see that separation of, you know, you would get a running back, you would get a defensive lineman, and a quarterback you would eventually get, but it wasn't such a high priority. But then you started seeing the advent of, again, the forward pass and how important it was, right? And so now you got, you got Marino and you got Elway and Jim Kelly. And, like, you got all these quarterbacks that are jockeying and teams are jockeying to get the quote-unquote best quarterback. Well, we're starting to see those best quarterbacks are actually further down the draft, right? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, arguably the best quarterback ever was drafted in the sixth round.
Facts. That's what's crazy. I think this is what got me. Like, I guess I wanted to talk about it basically just about the position, not these young men coming out. Because like I said, it's every young person's dream. It's most college football players' dream to play in the NFL. And if you have the opportunity to do that, I am more than happy for you. I just think we've gotten to a point where so many teams put so much emphasis on the quarterback position, then when they miss, it ruins lives for everybody. It messes up that young player's life. The coach is gone and fired. Sometimes GMs are fired. The franchise will stay in the basement and never get better. I mean, think about it. You're telling me 3 years ago the Bears take Justin Fields at number 11, and now they think, oh, wow, I got to go get another guy now and trade him away for a six-round draft pick?
Dude, Come on.
Come on, in 3 years?
Three years.
What are the Jets saying about Zach Wilson now? Number two overall pick.
Zach who?
Trey Lance, number three overall pick.
Trey who?
So it's like
Trey who?
And then this is my thing. These young kids come in, they don't pan out. Oh, he's a bum. He's trash. He's shit. He's Jamarcus Russell all over again. Mm-hmm. Do you know how bad Oakland was when Jamarcus Russell went to that team? Was supposed to say to him?
They were horrible.
Now, yeah, he didn't do some of the things he needed to do off the field to change people's perspective of him. But, man, I feel like people are waiting and hoping that Caleb Williams fails. I mean, to the point where they was teasing the man and all the memes coming out for him holding a pink phone in his hand while he's out supporting the USC girls in the tournament game against Kansas. Like, really, this is what we done came down to? All we could do was laugh about man phone case?
It's a pink phone.
Come on. It's what?
It wasn't a pink phone. It was a pink phone.
You know what I said?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the phone was pink, though. Like, it was a conscious decision. It's pink.
What's wrong with pink? So now because he got a pink phone, he can't throw a football? This is my thing. Who gives a damn?
You're right.
No, you did not say it. But people make news about
it. Your piece fell out when you said that.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Moral
of the story is, man, this is ridiculous. Drake May had a great workout today. Lewis Riddick said great things about him.
Yeah.
If your team needed a quarterback out these five guys that's so hot right now, who do you think you would like to see on the center for your team? Before we move on, just had to ask that. That's all.
No, I appreciate you, man. I mean, no, it's a good question, and it's a good thing to pose. I don't know, man. Let's go ahead and let's just top five. I got no answer for it.
Hey, man, I'll let you know on a short, man. Check out BGSE, BG Entertainment on TikTok, and check us out, BGSE on X, man. I'll let y'all know who I think since my man is rushing me to the top five. We're going to get into these snacks.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go, go.
That's right. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some even punk out and have a top 10, but not here at BGSB on BGSE Network. No, we have a top five. Who's in? Who's out? What's in? What's out? This week's top five. Top five snacks. Yes. Let's go. It's about to be summertime. And we need
snacks. Hey, Jay.
What's up?
You hit me up with snacks, right? And we, you know, I think you always try to tap into my inner fat boy. I think I got some stuff on here that's gonna throw you for a loop this time, bro. Since you know, a brother been trying to eat a little healthy, I had to go find some better snack choices, bro.
There you go. I'm ready for it.
All right, man. So I'm gonna get this thing off, and we're not gonna be long with the explanation. My number five, man, my classic that I always gonna rock is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, man. That's like a childhood treat, easy snack, throw something together. I still like PB&J, even trying to be in this calorie deficit and cutting these carbs. A Berry Bliss smoothie And this is a Big Game James creation that I made up. Almond milk, banana, blueberries, vanilla whey protein. Blend it, drink it, delicious. 30 grams of protein, not a lot of calories. Keeps you full. Keeps me from eating stuff I shouldn't be eating.
There you go.
This one of my guilty pleasures and easy to eat in so many different ways, French fries.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I love a good French fry. You put it with chili, you put it with cheese, you dip it in ranch, you could put some your favorite dry rub on it. It's so much you can do with French fries. Love it. I've told you this, you know this already. Little Debbie, oatmeal cream pie. It's crack in a bag. Never smoked crack, but I believe I've eaten the equivalent because them things had me hooked one time. I used to go through boxes, be on my hip. And then being on this health kick, just kicking these last 20 pounds, man, over the last month, I found a lentil chip that make me dance when I eat it. It tastes so good. Harvest Blend, sour cream and onion, lentil rings. Boy, believe it or not, that there, it tastes like sour cream and onion Funyuns. And it has 5 grams of protein, a bunch of fiber, and not that many calories per serving, like 140 calories per serving. It's off of the chain, dog. Off the chain. That's my new go-to right now. If I want some chips, I'm going to go get them Harvest Blends and not feel bad about eating me a couple chips.
There you go. That's good. Hey, beautiful. That's a beautiful list, man. Listen, right off the tip, right off the rip, Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie. We already know what it is. Yes, boxes upon boxes had to be bought and eaten. I'm a chip guy, okay? I love chips. In particular, barbecue chips. That's me.
Well, you're a barbecue Lay's guy?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes. Hey, they man. Stay hidden. They stay hidden. Yeah. This one you may not, you know, and I'm kind of with you on the health kick thing. Look, Welch's fruit snacks. I don't know what it is about these things, man.
What the kids say? Busting. they be busting. They hit different. They smack.
They smack. They slap. Listen, Welch's fruit snacks. Them's the ones. Them's the ones. I've tried others, but them's the ones. For me, man, over Redenbacher movie butter popcorn. I can eat that any time of the day. When I'm watching a show or a movie, that's what I'm eating. That's hey, I'm popping that up.
See, the reason, hey, I'm right there with you on the popcorn. My intestinal tract done made it where I can't even hardly, man, do you know how sad that is in my life? To where sometimes when I watch a good movie, I'm just going to suffer the next day because I'm going to have some popcorn. I'm going to suffer.
Man, listen, Skinny Pop, that's a good one too. Smart Pop, man, that white cheddar. Oh, my gosh.
You like that Chick-a-Boom Pop, that Chick-a-Boom, you know what I'm talking about?
Boom Pop is pretty good too, man. Pretty good too, but I'm definitely down with it.
That Orville Redenbacher though is the winner, bro. You that takes the crown. You named the champion on the Orville Redenbacher, bro.
That's it. Yeah, Orville Redenbacher movie butter popcorn.
Let's go.
And then finally, I like them. I don't know about everybody else. I like them. Go-Go Squeeze applesauces. Look, man, they're good. I like applesauce. I can get apple strawberry and the apple grape. They're good. They're good. I like them in the variety pack. Man, I like them things, man. Put them in the...
It's too much sugar in them things, though, bro.
I understand. That's probably why I like them so much. You put them in the fridge. Oh, my God, man. They're cold. Oof. Or in the freezer. Man, I'm
an old school Mott's guy myself. But, yeah,
Mott's is great.
That strawberry applesauce. Yeah. I was like, why do these kids like this? I was glad when my kids grew up and quit eating it. I was like, man, I'm about to be 400 pounds messing with these fools. 400.
Listen, you know something good when you put your finger in it and you scoop the sides.
You get all of it. Hey, you go to throw it away and your wife look at you like, get the dog licking, how to get so clean.
You're so clean. Yeah. You put the cup in.
That's a whole new fat bastard level, right? That's a fat bastard level right there.
I'm Jay Stocks, the Buffy. Let's go. Appreciate you dropping in and dropping in. Make sure you hit us in the chat.
I'm your boy, Big Game James. Again, please remember to check us out on Big Game Sports Buzz on YouTube, BGSE Network on Facebook, on X, and on Instagram and TikTok as well. Jay Stocks, I told you, all your social media, I mean, all your podcast platforms, Apple Music, do all that great stuff, man. Please make sure y'all continue to like, subscribe. We just hit 400,000 views. Really, really, really appreciate the support and the viewership. And until next time, y'all be blessed. Peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, 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 big game, game, game. Analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah. Set the competition and he played with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need.